Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me, diametrically opposed to all the common sense liberality that I tried to espouse and fork down the throats of people on this show. Oh, isn't it funny how I was hearing, I heard some liberals over the weekend saying, and the Governor DeSantis is trying to force this black studies thing down our throats. It's the first time I've heard liberals say that. Usually conservatives say, you know, if somebody keeps bringing something up, they're shoving it down your throat if you don't agree with it anyway. Of course, if you agree with it, then it's just bringing up an important topic repeatedly.
Over and over again.
But yes, even some people that were Democrats said, now the conservatives, Governor DeSantis is trying to force sort of African-American revisions into the curriculum in Florida. So, shoving it down our throats.
Oh, my. Well, somebody's always trying to shove something down our throats.
Why don't we kind of glue things together today? We'll have a totally nonpartisan show. And
nah, that won't go.
Sing kumbaya. You tried that at a radio station in Chambersburg where you had the Good News Show.
Good News Show, yep. Lasted about 4 weeks, if that long.
And even, did the sponsors leave you?
Yes, in droves.
Okay. Oh, in droves. It's like, this is the hour of free. We now conclude the revenue generation portion of our broadcast day, and we
almost concluded the entire station.
Oh dear, no, that's not good. All right, so welcome on board, everybody. It's the WKOK live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Joe McGranahan is here. He's a conservative, natural-born listener, and the favorite four-letter word is the one that his grandkids look across the table and say.
Well, which one? I have several, they say.
Well, one calls you Papa, I'm sure.
They both call me Papa, okay. So that's all right.
It's just what they say next varies greatly.
Right.
All right. So,
there's a five-letter word they use for me from time to time, too. Baldy.
Well, okay. Well, your grandsons are probably the cutest children in the entire planet, as near as I can tell.
Well, they're good kids.
So, yep, and good kids, too. All right, fantastic. On the other side of the glass, Rob Center is there, our good producer, so he'll take good care of incoming calls. Stand by. Remember, you can't spell stand by without S-T-A-N, so he's ready to get us started.
Can't spell it without B-Y either.
Stir the by. Okay, thank you. All right, On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line is 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565. WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. With that, we will open up the phones. Mr. Stan, good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning. Are you aware that May 1st, if you're trying to get a mortgage and you have a good credit score, that the government's going to penalize you because of that?
What? No, but you do, so please enlighten us.
Well, there's a new rule change coming going into effect May 1st if it passes. I mean, it's not that if it passes, whether it stands scrutiny, because I'm sure somebody's going to get sued over it. But what's going to happen is if you got a credit score, I think it's around 750, that you're going to pay a 1% fee on your mortgage. So they're saying a $400,000 mortgage, it'll cost you about $40 per month extra.
And what's the reasoning behind this? What is the logic or reasoning behind this? I haven't heard of this program, so I'd be interested in knowing what they're trying to achieve. You've looked it up. Tell us about it.
There's an article in Newsweek. I just Googled it, and it came up. Well, I didn't use Google, but search it. It came up in Newsweek. What is? I don't know all the acronyms for the federal agencies, but it's a new rule. Okay, by the Biden administration. Now, if you have a lower credit score, say around 650, you're going to get a discount of 1.75%, I believe the number was. on your mortgage. So it's to encourage. Now, see, here's the problem. It's a nonpartisan issue if you're going to get the penalty, but they turn it into a racial issue because their theory is people of color have lower credit scores, so they don't buy homes in the rates that they think they should be able to buy them, is the way the government, you know, the Biden administration is pushing this. Okay? So if you have good credit, if you've paid your bills and build up a good credit score, you will be penalized starting May 1st.
Oh, because you won't get the incentive. I see you're extrapolating.
Well, it's not exactly the way you describe, but a new federal rule enforced by the Biden administration will make it so that people looking to buy a home with a credit score of 680 or higher will have to pay about $40 per month more than people with worse credit when taking out a home loan of $400,000. Now, that's a pretty substantial home loan.
But I think that's what Stan said.
Well, yeah, but I was wrong on the credit score because so 685 is the
680 baseline? 680 or higher on a home loan of $400,000.
Well, that's what they're going by, but it doesn't say that it's not going to apply for $150,000-$200,000 mortgage. That's just the line that they're going, because I guess most mortgages these days, the average must be around that somewhere. I don't know. I'm not buying a home.
Well, it goes on to say the new rule, which goes into effect on May 1st, will affect mortgages from private banks across the nation, according to the Washington Times. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, federally backed home mortgage companies, will establish the loan level price adjustments. And the mortgage industry professionals told the New York Post that the new rule was an ugly surprise for home buyers who worked for years to build their credit. One mortgage loan organizer told the New York Post that it's going to be a hard conversation to have, saying it's going to be a challenge trying to explain to somebody that says, I worked my whole life for a high credit rating and I've put a lot of money down and you're telling me now that that's negative? I can understand that would be a difficult conversation.
So, and do you recall Congress or the Senate passing any type of law that authorizes this type of thing?
It says it's a new regulation. It's part of the Housing Finance Agency's push for affordable housing. Home buyers with good credit will soon have to pay a higher mortgage rate and fees to subsidize people with riskier credit ratings.
Didn't we have this problem before the 2008 crash?
Well, you know what it sounds like? Communism. From each according to his ability to each according to his need.
I think you've memorized that.
No, you can't say that.
Sounds like
that's just wrong. You can't say that kind of stuff on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You'll get censored or something.
Well, Mark's looking at me with a disdain.
Oh, no, it's all good. Oh, because you say everything's a communist. Well, that's fine. I think you do protest too much, as they say.
Well, there has been no law passed to do this, correct? They just give the authority to the
it's an administration. It's a
executive branch.
A rule from the Federal Housing Finance Agency.
Law.
Right. Another rule. So we're going to government. The bureaucrats are going to set the rules again. Once again, other than the elected officials, they do that a lot. Then they change their minds a lot. That's very prevalent in the ATF. They make a rule, then they change their mind and want to make felons out of people that obeyed their rules to start with. So here we have people that have worked all their life to build up a good credit score, get penalized for people that may or may not have worked all their life to build up bad credit scores. So where's the fairness in this?
Well, it doesn't say that the people with a lower than 680 score are going to get any particular break.
Joe, that's the corollary.
Yeah, 1.75%.
Huh?
1.75% is what the break is.
Well, the story doesn't
say that. There's other articles out there. The story, go to Newsweek article, and I've seen it other places. They get a break of 1.75%.
Yeah, and the goal is apparently to help low-income or colored, black families or Hispanic families who might have a lower credit score. Well, who probably on average would have a lower credit score, but unfortunately...
Why, Mark? Mark, why would they have a lower credit score? Is this the soft bigotry of low expectations again?
I don't know. I'm just saying that that's probably what it's scheduled to target.
Typically, you get a low credit score when you don't pay your bills on time. So that would be my guess.
Right. Or you don't borrow much. You know, you don't do any borrowing nor pay it back.
And that's a personal choice that people make. Right. So once again, we're going to do this on race base instead of, well, this is one thing. Where's the equity in this?
I don't think it's based on race. I'm just saying that may be part
of what they're reaching. It's based on race.
Mark. Oh, is it? Okay. I didn't realize that. Okay, good. Well, you knew. Why did you ask me why if you knew?
No, that's what the article... I just read this in Newsweek this morning.
Right.
It's because the black and Hispanic people have lower credit... On average, have lower credit ratings than, I guess, Caucasians or maybe Asians, or even, you know, people from India, the Indian Americans, as we call them. You know, they may have lower credit rating. So we're going to subsidize them, which is what they're doing. Where's the equity in here?
Yeah, under the rule, homeowners with a credit score of 680 or higher will reportedly have to pay about $40 more per month
right.
than people with a worse credit score on a loan of $400,000.
That's what I read, yes.
Oh, you're in the Yahoo Finance
article? Mm-hmm, that's exactly what I read earlier.
Okay. Right. I don't see anything about color or BIPOC or anything
else.
That's
in that article. Read the Newsweek article.
Oh, I got you.
Well, it says it wants to subsidize people with lower credit ratings and risk your credit. So, I mean, that is absolutely what I was talking about, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. I don't pay my bills, therefore people who do pay their bills must subsidize me so that I can have what they have.
Yeah,
isn't that a nice thought?
No. So, young people that are saving money, have worked hard, and have kept their credit score up, will be penalized for people that have it. And that's my whole point. Where's the fairness in that? Where's the equity? Because aren't we all about equity and fairness in this country?
Yeah, Newsweek
says
only about 25% of home buyers with Federal Housing Administration loans are people of color, according to the White House. Black and Hispanic people on average have fewer savings to use as a down payment on a home and tend to have lower credit scores, according to Mortgage Bankers Association President Mann. So is this for all loans or just the ones where the FHA is involved?
No, the FHA is going to set the loan, the standard. The FHA will set the standards.
I gotcha. Okay.
Right. So, I guess it's anybody going to look for a mortgage.
You're right.
It's going to apply starting May 1st, is what they're saying. Now, I'm of the assumption that somebody will sue. So there will be a lawsuit. There will probably be a stay on the rule, and then we'll have to fight it out. That's my assumption. Now, I could be totally wrong in that because, you know, but if enough people get together to say, screw this, I'm not going to pay more for somebody that hasn't been responsible in their life so that they can buy something that they can't afford.
Well, look at the mindset here. This administration now wants to penalize people with good credit ratings, make them subsidize people with bad credit ratings. They want to give back the people who borrowed for college. They don't want them to have to pay their loans back. I mean, it's like the administration of the deadbeats and with the deadbeats.
Well, Biden has been a deadbeat for years. He never worked a real job in his life.
Sounds like affirmative action for mortgages. You know, I mean, if that's the goal.
And where's the fairness and equity in that, Mark?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying there is any. I'm just participating in your little discussion here.
Well, the equity would be that the poorly financed and riskier loan people get loans subsidized by those who can't afford to pay.
One of the Newsweek analysis said that while the plan was designed to help people who have historically faced obstacles to home ownership, it comes at the cost of negatively affecting buyers who worked hard to save money for a larger down payment. The new rule unfairly penalizes Americans for having good credit and rewards those who accrue debt and don't pay their bills with cheaper loans, says a Republican Representative Michael Lawler of New York. He's talking in Newsweek magazine. Right, so he's not happy about this.
Don't blame him.
It's funny how the mainstream media hasn't covered this.
This is a nonpartisan issue, Mark.
It's funny how the mainstream media hasn't covered this. It's very funny.
Why? It's woke. We don't cover woke stuff in a negative light.
Well, I was surprised to see it in a Newsweek article.
Oh, they're pretty conservative.
No, not when John Meacham was editing the Howard.
Oh, no, they're very conservative.
No, that's why I canceled my Newsweek subscription years ago.
Come on now, them and Time, they're both conservative publications. All right, we got to hit the road. Stan, anything else to add?
Nope, just remember, this is nonpartisan here because it's going to affect anybody.
Everybody.
With good credit score, Republican, Democrat, or independent. So y'all look at it and see how bad the Biden administration is doing you a disservice.
So
have a great day.
Let's all go out and run up bills we can't pay, and then the government will give us better credit.
Republicans have better credit scores. 570-743-9565. We will be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Oh, that's one of the Penn State songs they play during the...
This bass line?
Yes, during the game.
Boom, 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 boom,
people stand up and start yelling.
Somehow I don't associate that with Penn State.
Well, then you should.
Okay.
John, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Fine, thanks. And you, John?
I'm perfect.
Good, thanks.
No, you're
just,
not.
Following, I'm doing well, thank you. Just following up on the discussion you have going. These things are, you know, another step toward socialism, but the thing we forget about in this conversation is that this is not how our government is designed. Our government is not designed where the president issues edicts and the federal bureaucracy carries out the edicts and the people have no say. Our government is designed so that Congress is supposed to pass the laws and the administration is supposed to enforce the laws that Congress passes. The problem is we have gridlock in Congress since 2010 or 2012, I guess. And none of the last three presidents have been able to get anything done. So more and more and more have been done by executive order. And, you know, when are we going to get back to the traditional way where if the Congress can't pass the law, the president says, oh, well, we can't do anything about it. You know, we are destroying our form of government with all of these executive orders.
True.
We need the convention of states.
You bet we do. Hey, by the way, there's a big rally on the Capitol in Harrisburg tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And anybody that's interested in convention of states should show up at the Harrisburg on the steps of the Capitol at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, because there's a big convention of states rally going to be down there.
Are you going?
I'm planning to, yes.
Wow, super. Good for you. I always say there's always something that people will stand up for and actually stand up in a crowd and stand for. For Joe, it's radar. For you, it's convention of states, so good for you. Well, and I think it was funny to watch the weekend talk shows or the TV shows over the weekend where they were talking about the debt limit conversation that was underway. And, of course, Kevin McCarthy and Republicans want some budget cuts, which more for budget cuts I could not be. But it just seems so strangely ironic that every president and every congressperson up to now has just been spending, and what is it, like $7 trillion during Trump, and we're up to $4 trillion, and Biden's only 3 years in. And
well, bear in mind that the Republicans voted four times to kick up the debt limit during the Trump administration.
Right.
So
there's all this indignation.
Yeah, righteous indignation now seems a little hollow, just as the Democrats is when it's the other way around.
Interesting article this morning on MoneyWise that says that the federal deficit for the first 6 months, that would be October 1st to March, the end of March, is $1.1 trillion. That is over $430 billion more than last year, fiscal year 2022.
But what happened spending, to, what about the Inflation Reduction Act?
Yeah, well, spending the first 6 months of the year has been up 13%. Revenue is down 3%. And the increase in interest payments that the federal government is making on the bond debt that is issued is up 41%. So, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost. And we've talked about this before, I have at least, that, you know, eventually you have to pay somebody or you declare bankrupt.
John, have you seen among any of the presidential candidates, well, it was mostly Republicans where they're being talked about, although there are some Democrats that are there and RFK Jr. is there. Is there anybody that's saying that if elected, I'll be fiscally responsible?
No, and let's remember, Donald Trump is not a conservative. Donald Trump is a populist, but he was never a fiscal conservative, and Joe has already mentioned how the deficits were run up during his administration, too. So, you know, it's not just the Democrats. It's everybody in Washington. You have one or two. McCarthy is trying to get a conversation going. The president won't even talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to me that this would be a ripe area. Obviously, it doesn't really actually truly relate to the debt ceiling in and of itself. But if somebody comes to you and says, I would like to fix the most vexing thing that we have in this nation right now, I'd take that meeting.
Well, there is no incentive for them to take that meeting. That's the sad part. It's easier to spend and give people stuff than it is to say you must tighten your belt and we're going to take some stuff back. I don't remember other than John F. Kennedy when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I don't think we've heard anything like that since.
Well, we had John Kennedy did, Ronald Reagan did. So we've had several presidents in my lifetime that have been conscious of budget, but others, Democrat and Republican, Eisenhower was terrible. He increased the deficit. So did Johnson.
And so did Ronald Reagan.
Reagan did in the end, yeah.
And I love him, and he was, I think, one of our greatest presidents, but he ran up the budget, too.
Yep.
Or the deficit.
I mean, you know, the interesting, if you look back in history, Scipio, the great Roman historian, said that the beginning of the end of the Roman Empire was when the people discovered they could vote themselves bread.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's it. John, was there any president who was the worst offender when it came to overspending, and who was the least offender when it came to overspending?
Interestingly, the worst offender was Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
But he inherited the Civil War.
Okay.
And they had, you know, there was no income tax, there was no, and so he financed the Civil War by borrowing money. So, my personal opinion, he's probably our greatest president, but he was also a heavy contributor to the deficit.
Well, you have to give Grover Cleveland some credit because during his administration, he cut spending. He was always looking out for ways to conserve the American dollar.
Now, what modern era president was the worst spender and which was the most frugal?
Actually, you know, in the modern era, the only president that has balanced the budget in the last 40 years was Bill Clinton.
Yep.
And Bill Clinton balanced the budget the last 4 years of his presidency.
And per year in office, who was the biggest federal debt adder to her? There's got to be a better way to say that, but, you know.
Yeah, I think, you mean after Lincoln? Lincoln, no doubt, was. FDR was next, but keep in mind he was financing a world war. So wars are expensive.
Okay, so proportionally speaking, FDR would be next, and then comes President Trump on the list of big spenders?
Four years,
$7 trillion.
Yeah, I would say that he's right up there, although, as you have already pointed out, as far as year by year, President Biden's way ahead of Trump.
Oh, yeah, he's disproportionate. And without the big pandemic spending, he only had one stimulus package.
Well, you got to give Lyndon Johnson some credit here, too, with his wars on poverty and
that were borrowed.
Yeah, you know, remember, his thing was We can have guns and butter.
Butter, yep.
it turned out that he actually said that.
Yes, he did.
Oh my God! And of course, now we need the bread and circuses to go with it, and you have the government taking care of it. John, thank you so much for your insights. Always appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure. Have a good day, Joe.
Take care.
Yeah, Convention of States rally tomorrow. So just Google that in Harrisburg, and go down there and make your feelings known at 9 a.m.
The premise, though, basically, is I think the federal government has got to stop doing things for people that they don't really deserve. If you have a bad credit score, I think there might be some way that government can help you adjust your credit and your spending to help you figure out how to do a better job of managing your money. But they don't have the obligation to subsidize you on the backs of people who do pay their bills.
And they don't have any more opportunity to borrow. It's over! All right, to be continued.
Not another dime.
As long as I get my bread, I want the government to stop overspending. Oops, I guess that's not going to work. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Sorry. No, you didn't see, Joe. You weren't looking up. I knocked my headphones off
when I went to see that.
To put one ear back on, and the whole thing's blew off. Well, I'm okay, though.
I'm glad you are.
I know you were worried.
I was. I was just panic-stricken over here for a minute.
A little schadenfreude over there. Yeah.
I don't believe I know him. Who is he?
He's a famous psychologist. Oh, okay. Schadenfreude. All right. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about the vehicles they got on the lot at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That's where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogens for tires. They got a body shop, an alignment shop, a parts shop, a big truck shop, and a normal car size shop. Of course, the Quick Lane is open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can find all the information you need to know about new Hyundai, Ford, or Kias at sunburymotors.com. They're also a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, including all sizes of trucks, and they would just love to super serve you like they have everyone else over the century. That's right. Alphonse, Jason, Chris, Jeff, Ernie, Tom, Austin, and Tony are among the people who super serve you at the Sunbury Motor Company. They also have some unmet needs. They're looking for experienced technicians, entry-level technicians, somebody looking for the first job, a career change. Joe, you could sell Fords down there. You'd be pretty good at it. You like your Fords, so you'd be happy. Quick Lane place needs customer service folks. They do need somebody in the body and alignment shop as well. So if that might be the job for you, check it out at sunburymotors.com. We would just love for you to be part of the team at the Sunbury Motor Company. All right, our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company at sunburymotors.com. Our phone number is now open, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. In the first half of our show, we talked about a new mortgage gimmick being put on by the Biden administration that involves charging people with good credit scores more and giving discounts to individuals with lower credit scores. Of course, the goal, of course, raise up BIPOC and Hispanic communities so they have a better chance of getting a home. And so you can read about that. Newsweek
penalizing people who have been thrifty and who've paid their bills, because why should they get ahead when others are not?
All right. And so that's the non-empathetic view of it.
That's the non-communist view of it.
Newsweek has an article on that. Although once you find out the keywords to search for, you can see some other articles, but most articles don't mention the BIPOC mission behind it, and that is to help out marginalized communities. countries who have tend to have a lower credit rating. So that was the first thing we talked about. Then we segued nicely into just overspending by the federal government, individual budget deficits in any given year, and huge amounts of debt given over any time. It seems that wars are the things that drive up the debt most, but the pandemic also drove up our national debt. I think we're, what, $34 or $35 trillion
A trillion here, a trillion there. It's going to run into money sooner or later.
Who said that?
Everett Dirksen. Well,
thank you. All right. So, and Joe McGranahan is across me, good conservative, natural-born listener. I'm Mark Lawrence, ultra-uninformed liberal, but I know what I believe, so don't get in the way of that.
Really? Right. You know what you believe.
Yes.
Good for you.
Some very brief news headlines here. PPL is finally speaking out to be BRE, reporting that the president, Steph Raymond, admits that it's taken longer than anticipated to fix their billing issues. She says, quote, they have made progress, unquote, and that the majority of customers are once again getting normal bills on time. That's funny. Anyway, she expects the issue to be totally settled by the end of the month. She insists that the problem is not with their smart meters. She says, quote, we remain confident in the accuracy of our meters and emphasize that the billing process challenges we've experienced in recent months have not been due to accuracy issues with the meters. PPL insists it's making changes to prevent something like this from ever happening again, which, as near as we can tell, is a complete and total meltdown of their ability to bill accurately.
So what is it they're doing? They have told us they are doing something, but they haven't told us what.
Well, they're trying to fix it.
Okay.
What else?
Good.
If Encina comes to Point Township, Cedarcog Joint Rail Authority says they will serve them.
Federal regulation requires us to. And then often a lot of hazardous materials are in essence born in a rail car. They go from the manufacturing process and they're not put in some large tank of lagoon at the factory. They're directly put into rail cars.
Steve Beattie's the Joint Rail Authority Executive Director. You can hear his full interview on the WKOK podcast page. 65 years ago this past week, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke on the campus of Bucknell University. The university commemorated the anniversary of the speech yesterday. They unveiled a plaque commemorating that speech outside Davis Gym. He spoke there back in 1958, so they had a bit of a celebration yesterday. Empowering women-led enterprise prizes and encouraging women entrepreneurs is the goal of a presentation today in Milton. It's being put on by the Improved Milton Experience. They're hosting Dr. Robin Eversole, a professor of management at Bucknell University. Why do women need a leg up?
That's not because women aren't good at it, but it's because of traditional gender roles that often women have to fight a little bit harder to be visible in these kind of leadership spaces.
5 p.m. today in Milton. President Joe Biden set to name Julie Chavez Rodriguez, a senior West Wing official and longtime Democratic Party activist, to manage President Joe Biden's reelection campaign. CBS News is reporting that she currently serves as a senior advisor and assistant to the president, and which makes her responsible for outreach to mayors, county executives, and governors, especially regarding implementation of the Biden administration agenda and in response to natural or other large-scale disasters. Those familiar with the ongoing deliberations about the re-election campaign said Sunday several key staffing and operational decisions remain to be made, and that while the campaign's expected to launch tomorrow, a date could slide if key appointments are not yet made. The president has been spending the weekend at Camp David with First Lady Joe Biden and other senior aides, sorting out the finishing touches of what could be the greatest re-election campaign in all of history.
Brother,
says Mark Lawrence. Okay.
Talking about Lawrence's worthless.
Well,
whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Okay, and finally, the Center Daily Times is reporting some Penn State students don't want all viewpoints represented on campus. In an April 24th event featuring self-proclaimed professional troll Alex Stein, who gained headlines last summer for sexually harassing AOC, was canceled by the organizing group after the university said it couldn't accommodate a last-minute request to change the date. Also in April 24th, 20th event headlining James Lindsay, whom the Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled an extremist, was canceled over a second student group's dislike of the proposed venue, according to the group. Well, actually, it's not.
Yeah, they put him in a closed closet.
Oh, is that what
the university says, all right, you can have a space here
for
this.
There's a cloakroom inside.
Right. We're going to put you in here in the laundry room.
Inside Sparks Hall. Okay, I know where that is. All right, so what else can we say? You'll, of course, know that last year they canceled some events at the last minute because of impending violence.
Penn State woke. Oh, I'm sad.
Well, actually, this isn't the students. This is the groups canceling them for one reason.
Well, yeah, but what the story doesn't make clear is that one of the reasons the groups are canceling is because the university won't work with them.
They can't have
a good venue. They can't have a venue, but
you can't have it on during finals week or the last day of classes because they already have their big party that day, so the cops are busy. I don't know. If the Center Daily Time wrote the story objectively, which I don't know which side they're favoring, it sounds like the student groups are really the issue, not the students that don't want the speakers. We know that many students don't want all speakers. That much is 100% clear.
Amen.
But it doesn't sound like that might be actually
the case.
Last
thing we would want
year.
Somebody in a college to do is challenge themselves to think outside the box. I mean, that would be terrible. We can't allow that to happen.
College isn't for challenging. It's for...
No, we need to just hear the things we want to hear. That's
for
what
hacky
college
sack
is
and
for.
Beer.
Right.
All right. 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. 570-743-9565. We're talking about the Feel Good on the Mark program of the year. Good morning, Lance. Would you like to contribute to our decline?
Okay. Why, anyway, every time they're in trouble on these college campuses, it's never the people who are coming to speak. It's always right there, the students themselves that rile up and go crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, yeah, and having a last-minute speaker, that the university moves like a slow-moving elephant, so you can't do anything last-minute up there. You can speak to that.
Mm-hmm. And all those folks probably going to be there is just to state their viewpoint. There's no, bunch of malcontents there, clubs and banging heads and all that. We got to really see, there's a video of our local boys at a pro-life rally. Now, these are absolutely straight kids with signs. And the hatred, the animosity, the people in their faces is incredible. I mean, you could just see it's seething in these people as they come up and get in their face and just go absolutely nuts. And these are the folks that are supposed to be the kind, the compassion, the altruistic, and the selfless, and they're anything else but, they're supposed to be the lifesavers. But anyway, what I called about here is it seems like that every day it's proven that liberalism really is a mental disorder. I mean, who else would be punishing the people with good credit and then building up the people with bad? I mean, it does make some sense.
Well, it's affirmative action.
What?
It's affirmative action for mortgages. You know,
you can
argue whether affirmative action is good or not, but that's what this is. It's benefiting the few penalizing the few to benefit the many because they've been oppressed, whether it's women or blacks or whatever it is.
But all it did for the blacks was make things worse, simply because when you saw a person of color in a position, of prominence, you thought, now, how did they really get there? Did they get there on their merit, or did they just put them there? Is this guy any good at his job? I was a fellow I worked with who was black, and this guy was a total genius. He was an electrician and worked on the locomotives. Now, he had been an electrician on jet aircraft in the Air Force, retired Air Force, and he hated affirmative action for his kids. Because it was always with him, was he really doing this job because he had merit and because he could do it, or was I here simply because somebody put me here. And his kids were probably the same way, I would think, you know. I mean, this guy could have done his job, you know, with all his brain tied behind his back. I mean, he was something else. And I found out he just wasn't a technician. He was like the service manager, you know, for the back in the day, the old F-105s and all them. So it didn't do anybody any good. All it did was raised animosity, don't you think?
Has affirmative action helped anyone?
Well, I don't know. It certainly didn't help the attitude.
Gotcha.
It might have put some good people in the places where they should have been, but in the long run, I am sure all it did was hurt. Yeah, well, but anyway, we started talking about Reagan and back when and the deficit. And when you look at the figures, what happened was the amount of money going into the federal coffers doubled during his tenure, okay? It doubled. But he had the people that spent it were the, of course, the Congress. And that was a Democrat Congress. So you can't really blame him. He did his job. And another thing was a lot of inflation. But if you take adjusted for inflation now, purchasing power, what I'm going on is the increase in real dollars of median income. You follow that? That went up by 9% during that time. So that's it with them.
Okay.
All right. We got you, Lance. Thank you
so much,
Lance, for calling in, sir.
Take care.
Could I just say something else?
Of course.
Okay. Well, you know, Finland is now in NATO. And I don't know. There's a lot of people who don't even realize that the Russians tried to invade Finland right before the Second World War really got started. And they cleaned their clock. Yeah. So look up the Winter War.
Gotcha.
And you're going to see
they did it at first, but then of course Finland took it on the chin when the Russians devoted their full time and attention to them, and they had to settle.
Oh yeah, I'm trying. But if you take a look at the way that they fought, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, they just ran out of ammo. That's all that happened.
Okay.
Had they been supplied, and we wouldn't supply them. And Finland is the only country that ever paid their war debt back to the USA. I'm not just saying that because they make wonderful rifles.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't even know that either. All right. Thank you, sir.
And
thanks for calling.
They're great skiers, too.
All right. And plus, whatever they start, they finish.
Very good.
All right. We'll be right back. I couldn't resist. It just popped up.
Please resist.
All right.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back to KOK's live
telephone talk show on the mark.
This is not a dead show, baby.
No, we're live.
Nobody would allow this to re-air if we had pre-recorded it.
Amen.
All right. 570-743-WKOK is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com, and you can text us at 70236. One of our listeners... I was going to read that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm checking. Go ahead, take the phone call, and I will get more up here.
All right. Mike, you're on the mark.
Yeah. As far as Finland's concerned, from what I understand, is what they did was they mapped off their woods in quadrants, and they stuck these dudes up in the top of these trees with rifles that were very accurate, like the fellow before me, I believe, just said. And they were just picking off these soldiers one after another. And I think they really kind of demoralized the Russian troops in the front line for the most part. And then they did run out of ammunition, and Russia got serious and did what they did.
I wonder if that's happening.
That's all I wanted to say about that.
I wonder if that's happening in today, you know, if the Russian troops are being demoralized by having such a terribly slow slog.
A slow slog.
You know, I would like to say I know what's going on, but I hear two different stories. I hear that Ukraine is kicking Russia's butt, and then I hear Russia's kicking Ukraine's butt.
Okay.
And so I don't really know what the truth is there, to be honest with you, or even come close.
Well, I would say the truth is somebody's butt's getting kicked.
Well, we'll get Jeff McCausland on the phone. He'll know.
Yeah. Now, what I wanted to talk about was, I call it the insidious decline of the United States.
There's that word again, insidious.
It's popped up a couple times.
Everything seems to be going in the wrong direction, and yet half of the country is celebrating that. And as I said before, if you separate the United States people just into occupational groups, or in some cases they're not they don't have an occupation, they're dependent on the state or the federal government, it's basically a 50-50 country. Half of the people do better economically if government grows, and the other half, they do receive some benefits, but the inflation and other things penalizes them when government, that we have out of control spending right now. So we have a divided country, and to me, I think one of the most important parameters is whether you benefit from a bigger spending government or you're hurt by the bigger spending government. Now, that said, what I want to talk about is what I believe is one of the biggest threats to this country, and that is the unmitigated migration. It's called migration. I'll call it an invasion on our borders. It's being facilitated, encouraged, and subsidized by the United States government. Mayorkas was down in the Darien Pass, which I've talked about before, to visit it. And when he was there, he said, this has to be shut down, okay? Well, it's not being shut down. In fact, it's growing in the number of people coming through from South America into from Colombia into Panama. Now, generally, I've heard as many as 100 different countries are now being represented. Now, most of those people are non-English speaking. They can't read it, they can't write it, they can't speak it. So, when they get here, all the decisions that I make, because I'm a ruthless right-wing conservative at my house, it basically comes down to a cost-benefit ratio. How is this going to benefit me and my family if I do this, and what's it going to cost? And we have to make a decision. Now, so when we bring in millions of people into this country, the great majority, and I'm leaving out the fact that there's guaranteed to be terrorists in this group that really are coming here for the sole purpose of causing trouble when the time comes. But how is... My question is this: we hear about how empathetic it is. These people are underprivileged; they need homes and blah blah blah. Well, hey, a lot of them, they're not coming through South America. They're paying the money to get the boat rides and the plane rides to countries that allow them to come in without a passport and then sneak into our country. They're helping facilitate it too. So my question is this: why do we never hear what the benefit to Mayorkas' and Biden's lies about the border and them facilitating this entry by all these people? And before I ask you the question I want to ask, I want to say this. It's now known that the Red Cross is handing out these gigantic pamphlets in down at the Darien Pass. And basically, the information is all written in English. And everybody said, well, what does that do to the people that are coming here if they can't read English? Well, there's a QR code on it, and they take their smartphone, and they click on that, and then guess what they get? they get all that information translated into the English that they choose. And I heard there's like almost 100 languages. I think it was 98 languages that this pamphlet, which is basically a tour guide on how to get to the United States, what cities to go to, what benefits you can get, the easiest places to cross, and what cities and states are most conducive to having illegal aliens live there. So this is not something that's just happening. It's organized, and I say it's an organized invasion, because when we do a cost-benefit analysis of this, now, Mark, didn't you just say there's one of these auto places that's hurting for people to do specific jobs?
Well, there's a help wanted sign at the Sunbury Motor Company. I wouldn't say hurting might not be the right word, but they have openings.
Right, they have openings. And to me, it sounded like all those jobs were you needed to speak English, you needed to be able to read it, and be somewhat technical. I don't think I could do any of those jobs except maybe for the ones on the lowest ring that, or rung that
Well,
you
they
mentioned.
Have a customer service opening, too. You would be perfect for that.
Right, there you go.
This place is insidiously bad.
Guy.
Go shop elsewhere.
Right, but anyway, so my question is this. What is this going to benefit having? Who's going to benefit, and how is the country going to benefit overall from bringing in millions of people that generally could be low skilled, that, you know, for what we know is they don't really read and write English for the most part, except for the spies that are coming in that went to special schools to learn English. They're coming in here, you know, but I don't think they're going to be turning into roofers or car technicians. Anyway, so what's the cost benefit of this unmitigated migration into the United States of non-English speaking people?
All right, we'll leave it at that. Good questions.
You're not going to answer my question, Mark and Joe? Or
what's the advantage of it? What's the advantage of massive illegal immigration?
I think that's a rhetorical question. There is no advantage, and yeah. You know it as well as we do.
I guess some jobs that are filled by illegal immigrants would be taken care of, I suppose. You know, there used to be quite a few. Maybe there are still.
We have to have a glut of
unemployed illegal immigrants at this point.
Well, there are only so many bodegas they can staff, right?
Right, and only so many Western U.S. lawn mowing services, et cetera.
I mean, the sad fact is that these people should come in the right way. They should learn the English language if they're going to live here, just as I would learn Spanish if I were going to live in El Salvador.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree. And I, in my mind, I don't believe this is a rhetorical question, because you get into these little school districts where, you know, let's say there's, you know, maybe the school district has, 100 kids in a class. Was that 1,200 kids? And you get, you know, 20 kids that come in that never spoke English, you know, never really heard it at all. What's that going to do to that school district? You know, the government's going to come in and say, hey, you need interpreters. You need special classes. I mean, that's what they do.
Right. We gotcha.
So, I believe...
Good question. Mike, we got to move on.
...that our media should be answering it.
All right. We gotcha, Mike. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. All right, good question. What's the advantage of having 365 million Americans or illegal immigrants in the U.S. right now? 570-743-9565. What's the advantage? I think the advantage is that maybe someday they'll all vote Democrat, in which case they'll all
vote. Now you're on to something.
And they'll still be able to, and strangely enough, they'll still be able to vote for President Biden by then. 570-743-9565. We will be right back. All right, welcome back. 570-743-9565 is our open phone. We're talking about what are the advantages of illegal immigration.
Well, that was a question posed by one caller, but mostly we've been talking about the federal government's insane policy of giving credit to people who don't earn it. And one of our emailers or texters says, Mark, you claim the mortgage penalty is penalizing the few to benefit the many? That's the most despicable thing I've heard. Punish the responsible to benefit the irresponsible.
I'm just repeating it. I'm not an advocate for it.
That's despicable.
Thank you.
Then, Empowering Women's Conference, are they sure they know what a woman is? Hard to tell these days, at least by people on the left. And then the party that offers to give away the most free ice cream will retain power.
There you go. If Donald Trump were giving out free chocolate chip ice cream, I would vote for him in a heartbeat. Bobby D., you're on the mark.
Hey, I used to get a free ice cream cone from Randarius for being a good, I'm going to say, patient on the dentist chair. Oh. But anyhow, okay, to call about the... like the credit and the loans and all that. Of course, I'm a homeowner, and of course I had this was while it was property owners in your area apply for a free program, and contractors provide all the labor and warranties and all that. And through our local in Pennsylvania, there are loans, there are areas that you can go to within this Commonwealth to get help for all that, you know, versus the federal programs and all that. And then it says about the scores, the credit score being based on, of course, lack of recent installment loan information and too few accounts and many accounts and balances. I was lucky to get like 800 something or whatever through it, but I didn't end up going through that way. I ended up financing it myself in that. But there is, as far as on black, there was no discrimination on that. You just had to supply them with the right paperwork. And then with M&T, I just got a letter for like a personal loan and automatic payment deduction, and your final APR will be based on your credit profile as reported by the bank. So, there's different things that they use to establish a credit rating, and that's something that they have to look at. If you're going for a loan, and I understand, to get the help people, but I think they better do their homework.
All right, yeah, good points, all. All right, thank you so much, Bobby. Thanks for calling in, Cindy. You're on the mark. Thank you for calling.
I would like to address the question. Why does this country admit these illegal immigrants? First of all, the population of a state dictates how much money they get from the federal government and how many representatives they have in Congress. So the more you encourage illegal immigration, the higher your population, the more money you get from the federal government, and the more representation. So Pennsylvania, while we had a small growth in our population, it didn't equal things like California, since they had a bigger growth, heavily inundated with illegal immigrants. They got more seats in Congress, and we had to give up one.
All right, so there's population growth. One of our listeners texted me and says it actually contributes to our overall GDP, even though many are consumers of services. So GDP still grows. So the federal government gets to say that GDP is growing. Yay!
I find that ludicrous.
It's the same thing as the population.
Another reason is school enrollment. Right now, across the country, they're seeing a decline in enrollment in public schools. Why? Because the Americans typically have reduced the number of children in their family. They aren't having 5 and 6 and 7 children families. They're having 1 or 2. What does that do? It decreases the number of children in a school district. So if you can flood in people with small young children from other places, then you boost your enrollment. And school districts are singularly focused on more money. And what gets them more money? More children. Religious groups support this. Why? I can think of one faith in particular who's very big in advocacy for admitting these illegal immigrants, because the majority of them from the South
are Catholics.
Are Catholic. And so they are boosting their numbers in Catholicism. We're seeing all the churches closing. Catholicism is suffering from a decline in enrollment. And finally, because they provide low-cost labor to certain sectors of our economy. That is true. And the more low-cost labor they have, the more money those sectors make. And in specific, I can think of farms who like to have low-cost labor that comes from the South. Yes, there's a program, and they can submit paperwork to the federal government, and they can bring these workers in. But apparently, they're just too darn lazy, as in lazy the owners of these farms, to do this paperwork. If you watch the committee hearings, they whine and cry about having to do this paperwork, and they are responsible financially for housing and feeding these illegal immigrants, and they don't want to be. Isn't it handy that you can dump this whole problem on your neighbor and maximize your return on your investment by displacing all the costs on someone else?
Mm-hmm.
So yep. These are the reasons.
That's a good list.
These are some of the reasons why some people encourage this flood of illegal immigrants, turn their back on it because it's benefiting them economically.
Right, and we hear now that the idea of bolstering the roles of Catholics is it's only the shotgun approach. You have to admit about 10 illegal immigrants to find 5 Catholics. It's no longer a guarantee. It's still the predominant religion, and Protestant would be the second, and the last would be individuals who have no discernible religion, but Catholics is still the majority. So now you have to allow 10 illegal immigrants to get 5 Catholics.
Well, it used to be, like, I've seen reports recently, there's a large number of people coming from China now who are amassed below our southern border waiting for this health law to be suspended so that they can flood into the country illegally.
Title 42.
Right. It's just become ridiculous. I don't know why. I do know why. I've just listed several reasons why the federal government has turned a blind eye to this. And you might say, oh, but Cindy, the federal government gives money to school districts when they get children that don't speak English. They give pennies. You know, and the person who called in and talked about you have to have translators, that's exactly right. And not only to serve the child, but also to serve meetings with the parents because, of course, they know habla inglés, so they can't participate in school meetings. And through the schools, they covertly fund the family by providing all kinds of services to these children. Well, there's nothing that stops the parents from eating the food that was provided for the children, from living in housing that we've provided for the children. So it's a backhanded way for the government to say, no, we don't fund the lives of these illegal immigrants, but we can't ignore the plight of these poor little children. That's why they bring them with them. That's why they take them on, even if they didn't have these children. That's why they cheerfully take them on, because it's money in their pocket to take these children in, whether they behave responsibly towards them or not.
So we've got the Catholics and the Democrats pushing this so they get more participants in their party and their religion?
Yeah, basically. But also people who need illegal immigrants to work for them. The hospitality industry would be one, and the landscaping industry.
Yeah, but there's not much hospitality if they don't speak English. I can't understand what it is
matter.
They're being hospitable
They do a lot of their
about.
Work in silence without
go,
you being
go to
there.
A restaurant in Washington, D.C., Joe.
Right. Or a hotel anywhere.
I've been in Washington, D.C. The last time my wife and I were down there, it was hard to find anybody who spoke English.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And go to a hotel sometimes.
And I know, Joe, you're fond of we, the taxpayers, should pay for the classes that teach these people English. I beg to differ. I have my own bills. The attitude that people have that it should be their neighbor's responsibility to pay for whatever whim and willy they come up with blows me away, because it ignores the fact that your neighbor has bills. Your neighbor has priorities. For all you know, they have a terrible medical debt. Maybe they're trying to get their kid through college. So for us to so frivolously turn to everyone else and say, well, you should be paying for this, Cindy. Well, how do you know that I have 5 extra cents to spend on that?
Well, you may not have 5 extra cents to spend on it, but collectively we have enough money that we can teach people this language, the English language, so that they may more fully participate in life if they're going to live here.
But Joe,
if they're going to live here.
It's a collective thing. 40% of people in our state don't pay state income tax. Don't wag your finger at me.
And, I'm not wagging my finger.
The federal government, the vast majority, I understand that the top 1% pays half the money that goes to the federal government. They benefit disproportionately by that half of it.
Right. All right. We got you, Cindy. Thank you.
Thanks, Cindy. Yep. Take care.
One of our listeners sends a poignant text, and she'll read that lower right.
Actually, the last census, California, I believe, lost 2 House seats. They are number 1 outbound migration. New York is number 2.
Right. That's because of the influx of illegal immigrants. The housing crisis is so terrible that many people are leaving the state of California. But that illegal immigrants aren't part of that
I don't think we should teach illegal immigrants the language. I think they should be sent back to go through the process the right way. But people who are here legally, teaching them English is to our benefit. They more fully can participate in American life and assimilate into this country. which is what every other migration has done.
Joe, that's the right patriotic American thing to do.
Yes, it is.
That's not what Washington's going to do. All right, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Alrighty, welcome back. Joe, you got two texts there.
Okay. Did our ancestors learn Native American language? Did they take the right procedure to get into this country? No, they didn't.
But took it by force.
We weren't a country then. Illegals shouldn't be here, and we shouldn't be paying to take care of any of them. They should all be deported.
All right. Thank you, Stan. I'm sure about that. Okay. Jim, you're on the mark. Thank you for calling
in. Good morning, Mark and Joe. Mark, did you see where the Ford Motor Company is going to start supplying the New York Police Department with a lot of electric vehicles?
Nope, I did not see that.
It was on the news last night, Channel 13, and Mercedes-Benz is going to start going to more electric vehicles also.
Very unreliable vehicles. But anyway, that's fine. What else?
That's it, Mark.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, I didn't see that.
Enjoy your programming. Hope you stay on the air quite a while yet.
I'm sure the program will. All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling
okay.
in.
Right.
All right, Joe, you something related to our immigrants.
All right. Many jobs that typically Americans would not consider taking are filled by immigrants from Mexico and Central America. Jobs that are physically demanding and lack any requirements are filled by people desperate for jobs. Workers in slaughterhouses and agricultural fields, for example. Anthony Bourdain. Once did a show where he went to the kitchens of several top restaurants in New York City. The staff doing all the demanding prep work in those kitchens were primarily immigrants, most from Guatemala.
All right. Yeah, in the hospitality industry, there are lots and lots of women who are working in the hotels. Joe, you don't travel too much, but you can't go to a hotel these days that doesn't have a disproportionately large Hispanic population. But again, the women are willing to do this, and so that's might be their first job for some of them in the U.S., or they just like taking fabulous care of good hotel guests, one or the other. And landscaping industry, agriculture, you name it. It's menial jobs in some cases, you could call them, but some folks want to do them. So, hey, more power to them. And give them a green card, allow them in legally, and we'll go from there.
Sounds like a plan.
Well, and I think the Biden administration doesn't seem to be being penalized by this. You know, there's still polls that show if President Trump runs against President Biden, Biden would still win. Now, if any normal Republican runs against Biden, Biden loses. So maybe it is hurting him because, you know, he's, you know, otherwise an incumbent that probably has some things that he can run on. I can't list them all other than low unemployment, but nonetheless, he's got quite a few things in his favor at the moment.
He does.
Read the thing that we brought in today, and then we won't have too much time to discuss it.
Well, it's a story out of Pennsylvania. Central Pennsylvania School District has ordered the locker rooms at a high school closed for the remainder of the year amid concerns that a transgender student used the boys' locker room to change. Eastern Lebanon County School District Board of Directors Monday night voted 8-1 to close both the boys' and the girls' locker room at Eastern Lebanon County High School school after district residents brought up concerns about a transgender student using the boys' locker room. That's according to the Lebanon Daily News, which first reported the story. Penn Live reached out to the district for confirmation and was told the only district official addressing the matter was out of the office on Friday and not expected back until today. According to the local news outlet, the order is effective today and will remain in effect for the boys' and the girls' locker room in the high school for the remainder of the school year, which ends on June 7th. Superintendent Julia Vincente said student athletes would still be able to use the locker rooms during specified times, however. So this is an ongoing problem that we've got to face here.
Right. Well, this is the growing pains that go along with recognizing and, you know, allowing and having, you know, lucky enough for individuals who are transgender to be able to transition.
That much is good. How is that lucky for us?
Well, if people were oppressed in the back and in the past and could not do any kind of transition, you know, but may have felt as though still had gender dysphoria and couldn't do anything, that's fine. But these are the growing pains that are associated with this, and we have to address it. We've got to stop talking about it like it's some little joke or some anomaly. You know, this is a sliver of our population. In high school, people should be able to change in private anyway. You know, this idea of a mass dressing room, it's time for that to be over.
So how much do we accord slivers of our population? How many rights do slivers have over the vast majority? Just out of curiosity,
Joe,
in Marktopia,
this is in the United States. Unfortunately for you, people who are the minorities in the U.S. are granted the same respect as the majority.
That's
just the way it is.
A minority is, I would suspect, in my definition of the term, would be 20-30%, maybe 40% of the people. A sliver applies to me like less than 1% or 1-2%. So do we change the entire fabric of the country because 1-2% feel that they're being left out? Well, I'm asking you. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Yep. I'm asking you.
No, I'm going to answer your question if you stop interrupting.
Fortunately, I'm not interrupting you.
I think you just did again. Anyway, fortunately in the U.S., even if you're not a significant minority, you still have equal rights. You still have opportunities. You can transition if you so wish to as a person who's transgender. But if we are going to enjoy the fact that more people get that opportunity in the U.S., this is the growing pain. So is the sports team issue.
Well, what rights do the people have who don't want to participate in this? Do they have no rights?
Well,
in other words, they have to live with what's going on.
Joe,
yes?
What part of "we have to address this" makes it sound like I want it to stay the same? All right, let me say
how
it slowly.
How would you address it?
We have to.
Would you address it?
First of all, the easy thing would be to allow people to change in a private area. Everybody. That would probably be the nicest thing for every cisgender person in high school, too, that they don't have to change.
So there should be a dressing room for every person.
Well, not a specific dressing room, but you can have sort of an individual shower. That's the way it was at Penn State. There was a communal area where you could finish getting dresses, but showers were individual, so you could change in there. We're going to have to adapt buildings or come up with some other way to do it, but I think that would be a fair way
to do it.
At
taxpayers' expense. In other words, again, we spend all this money because
the sliver needs to pay quite a bit for progress that we've made in the U.S.
That's a new word I'm coining today, sliverization. That's in Marktopia where people, a sliver of the population, get everything they want.
Your new word
and
of the
we
day
all
is
pay for it.
Awfulization. There's no sliver that's not awful. All right, Joe, you are on the mark. You get the very last word. Go right ahead.
In Wisconsin, Sun Prairie East High School, 18-year-old man went into the girls' locker room. I believe there were four freshmen around 14 years old, and exposed male genitalia to them. Read up on that.
Well, I don't think we need to.
How could one person be arrested for doing that and another person not?
You tell us. You looked it up. What's the answer?
I don't think Joe's there anymore.
Okay, good comeback, Joe. You're pretty witty. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News Time, it is now. Joe's still on his diatribe. This is WKOK Sunbury.